and Jesus. So, yeah, let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's in the Church Bibles, page 1163. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided to give in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage and for the encouragements and the challenge contained within these verses. And I pray that as I speak now, your voice would be heard beyond mine. Amen. Today is Giving Sunday. And this evening provides another opportunity for us who are members of the church here to discern what God is saying to us personally about our financial commitment to the vision here at Holy Trinity in 2017. If you're not a regular member of our church, now's the time to reach for your Times crossword. Please feel free to ignore the appeal to your purse or your wallet that will follow shortly. In his inspiring talk last Sunday, and if you missed it, I recommend that you download and listen to it, Trevor began to outline aspects of our vision for 2017 and announced that a major part of our focus this year would be upon discipleship and living for Jesus. And as part of our commitment to live for him, we as a church are also called to help others live for Jesus too. And one of the ways that we can help or enable others to do this is through the giving of our time, our money, and also the gifts and abilities that God has given to each of us. Some of you may have already read the leaflet that is on your seats, Giving to God's Work in 2017. And highlighted within the leaflet is a thank you that reads as follows. 2016 was another great year for our church. We saw people come to faith, others deepen their friendship with Jesus, and a rich variety of ministry and mission, both locally and overseas. So much of this only continues to happen because church members serve and give so generously. And we are really grateful to you for this. So again, a massive thank you is extended to all who gave last year. And looking forward, the leaflet continues. In 2017, we want to continue to build for the future, and our focus this year will be live for for Jesus. And in the passage that was read a moment ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul outlines why generous giving is a mark or feature of Christian discipleship. With regard to the background to this passage, Paul was encouraging the church in Corinth to give money towards the collection that he was organizing. It's not entirely clear who the eventual recipient of this gift was, but there are scholars who believe that it was for members of the church in Jerusalem who were poverty-stricken. Reading between the lines, it would appear that their dire financial situation and isolation from the rest of the Jewish community was possibly due to the years of routine discrimination that they had been subjected to by the extremely hostile Jewish establishment who formed the majority in that city. I read an article recently published by an organization called Barnabas Fund of how Christians in Pakistan, who currently make up around 3% of the overall population, are subjected to routine discrimination and persecution from those amongst the Islamic majority. The article revealed that Pakistani Christian families are unable to access education or decent jobs because of their faith in Christ, and also how other members of their community were being falsely accused of blasphemy and other offenses. And similarly, for the church in Jerusalem, Paul organized the collection to bless and encourage them, to alleviate need, and to help them to continue to live for Jesus. And in our reading earlier, Paul emphasized that God's heart is especially moved by generosity and cheerful giving. Reading from verse 6, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." In the ancient world, this type of illustration from the world of agriculture would have resonated immediately with those who were either reading or listening to Paul's letter. For example, what one grew in relation to crops and what emerged from the ground was for the majority of families their main source of food. And the process began with the sowing of seed. And the quality of the harvest was in general dependent upon the diligence and generosity of the sower in the season prior to the harvest. And similarly, Paul says that there is a spiritual principle at work here that can be applied in terms of our own generosity towards God and towards others. God loves to bless. And when our inclination to bless others is motivated by our love for God and underpinned by generous giving on our part, then God's heart is especially moved. And Paul indicates that God's response to us is one of generous blessing. And we can never outdo God in the category of either giving or blessing. Many years ago, and shortly after I'd left the army, I came to faith in Christ. I didn't really have many transferable skills from my time in the army, so my employment prospects at that time were fairly limited. I was offered a job in a warehouse quite near to where I was living at the time, in Hanwell, near Ealing, West London. Financially, things were very tight. I was paid weekly, and by the time I had paid rent and bought a week's supply of food, there was very little left for anything else. I'd recently discovered Jesus, and the joy of knowing him and being known and loved by him was a source of great comfort and encouragement, as was my involvement with HDB, where I was worshipping at the time. And it was during a Sunday evening service at HDB, during the offertory or collection, that I felt an inward nudge from the Holy Spirit to put the contents of my pocket into the collection plate. In my pocket was a £10 note and a bit of loose change, and it was all that I had left until the next payday. Again, I'd bought enough food to last a week, and I didn't need money for public transport because my place of work was within walking distance of where I was living. Perhaps more significantly, I had recently read in my Bible God's instructions in the book of Malachi, where God said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. But it was the next verse that really gripped my attention. God went on to say, test me in this and watch me throw open the floodgates of heaven and bless you. So I put the £10 note into the collection plate. And as I did so, I remember praying something along the lines of, okay, Lord, it's done. This is going to be interesting. And for the remainder of the service, I didn't really think too much about it. At the end of the service, as I was about to leave the church that evening, I felt a tap on my shoulder and a man was standing there. And he said to me, I feel the Lord is telling me to give you this. It was a £10 note. And I was dumbfounded. I thanked him, and thinking that it was probably not appropriate to go into too much detail, I told him that his actions and kindness were a gift from the Lord. A few weeks later, the same thing happened again while at church on a Sunday evening. This time I had £5 in my pocket, and under the same circumstances that I described earlier, I felt compelled to place the £5 note into the collection plate, after which, again, I largely forgot about it. At the end of the service, as I was leaving the church, I felt a hand on my arm, followed by a voice that said, I hope you don't mind, but I felt the Lord tell me that I should give this to you. It was a £5 note. Once again, I was blown away. What those two experiences taught me at that very early stage of my journey with Jesus was that God will not allow us to outdo him in the category of giving. But he is so generous. He outdoes us. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus says this, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now we need to be clear here, very clear. The good measure that Jesus referred to that will be given back to us may not always be money or material blessing. It may instead be a gift that will bless and enrich us spiritually and be a blessing to those around us also. And returning to Paul's letter, his appeal to the church in Corinth suggests that there are times where God will call upon us to give financially in order to serve him and his purposes. Because money will bring into being his vision and his plans for his church. And to say a little bit more about this and our vision for 2017 and the mechanics or process surrounding how we might give this year, if we choose to do so, I'm now going to invite Mark Johnston, our treasurer here at Holy Trinity, who's going to explain a little bit more about this.
So I think you've seen the leaflets on the chairs, and please do take those away and have a read. I just want to call out a few key things. First of all, a massive thank you. I mean, Alwyn thanked you for last year, but back in November, we were in a situation where we were looking at a deficit for the year, probably between £5,000 and £10,000. You know, it was talked about in a couple of services, and within weeks, many people had come forward with donations. Deficit's gone. We've now got a surplus for last year of somewhere between £5,000 and £10,000. So, you know, first of all, big thank you, you know, and thank you, God, because, you know, it keeps happening year after year. So really, really incredible. For 2017, I mean, I think the first point to make, a lot of you will know this, but it's worth reiterating. The cost of running the church, so the buildings, employing staff, all the ancillary costs associated with the activities here, you know, youth work, children's work, Alpha, music, etc., etc., supporting supporting local organisations, overseas organisations. All of the costs of that, or nearly all of the costs of that, are funded by your donations. Yeah, we have a bit of income that comes in from the church centre, letting that out. That covers about 10% of our costs. The rest are from your donations. So there is no sort of extra income from the Church of England or any other external funding. It's your donations. Now, that situation, there's a situation we're in every year, and it feels challenging. When we look at 2017, the costs are in the leaflet, but total costs around about £400,000. We think to hit that number, to be able to fund those costs, we're going to need to probably have one-off giving at similar level to what we had last year, which actually was a record year because of the extra donations we got towards the end of the year, and also increase our planned and regular giving, or planned or regular giving, by 5%. So that's 5% on average. That doesn't mean everyone needs to increase by 5%. Some may be able to do more, others less. But on average, we think we need to increase by 5%. So if you take that number away with you, that would be good. Now, that's going to be obviously challenging and something for us all to reflect on. But it would be really excellent. What's really helpful for us is just to know your intention. It just helps so much with the planning for the year. So in the leaflets, there's a stewardship response form. It'd be brilliant if you could fill that out, ideally today, but if not by the 12th of February. So we'd like to know by then, by mid-February, what the year is looking like in terms of our funding. If you give on a sort of ad hoc basis rather than a regular basis, it'd be great if you could consider moving to perhaps a standing order basis. If not, it's fine. Please do, though, still give us some understanding of your intentions by filling in the form. It just helps so much in terms of the planning. If you've got any questions on just the mechanics of setting up standing orders, giving, etc., please do come and see myself or David Ewart at the end. And thank you for your continued support.
Thanks, Mark. So, in light of everything we've heard so far this evening, what should our response be? Well, firstly, if in our hearts we've decided that we want to give or to continue giving in 2017, the amount that we choose to give should leave us in a place of total peace. Reading from verse 7 in the passage earlier, it says this: each one should give what they have decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, while God loves generosity and encourages us to give generously, the amount that we give should not be given from a place of reluctance or a feeling that we're being compelled against our will to do so. Instead, God wants us to be happy with what we give. God loves a cheerful giver. And the Greek word for cheerful is at the root of our English word, hilarious. I wonder how many of us on Christmas Day would readily receive a gift from someone who gave it to us in a grudging fashion. Here, there you go. Take it. I'm not sure that I'd be happy to accept a gift under such circumstances. The moment or event itself would be overshadowed or ruined by the response of the giver. God loves a cheerful giver. His own heart of love and generosity is stirred and blessed by our willingness to give to him and the causes that he values. And if we start from the principle that everything we have comes from God and is a gift from him, then whatever we have can be used by God to serve and accomplish his purposes and bring him glory. And we can afford to be generous because we cannot outgive him. So, perhaps on that day when the money destined for Holy Trinity Richmond leaves our account by standing order, on that day, every month, we can perhaps treat that day as a day of celebration. Yes. And as I was preparing to speak this evening, I felt that God wanted to say this to perhaps one or two people this evening. If it helps us to do so, then we can turn that day into a day of celebration before him. And as part of our celebration, I had the image of someone going into a bakery and buying their favourite pastry, or into a shop and buying their favourite chocolate bar. And as we do so, or buying our favourite meal, or cooking our favourite meal, if we can still afford to do so, in the knowledge that our gift is not only advancing the work of his kingdom, but our offering has also become a source of blessing to someone else. It's something to celebrate. God loves a cheerful giver. And in 2017, he wants us to be free to engage in some hilarious giving. And in verse 8, it provides further reassurance that when we give to God out of a desire to serve him and bless others, regardless of our circumstances or what they happen to be at the time, his promise is that we will also find provision for ourselves in time of need. Reading from verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So as we close this evening, we have been reminded that through his actions in nature and through grace, God is a generous giver. And if our desire is to see his kingdom come in power in Richmond and beyond, he calls us to follow his example. Amen.